In a few minutes, Diggory came to the edge of the wood, and there he stopped. The lion was singing still, but now the song had once more changed. Can you imagine a stretch of grassy land bubbling like water in a pot? For that is really the best description of what was happening to the countryside. In all directions, it was swelling into humps. They were of very different sizes, some no bigger than molehills, some as big as wheelbarrows, two the size of cottages. And the humps moved and swelled till they burst. And the crumbled earth poured out of them, and from each hump there came out an animal. The moles came out just as you might see a mole come out anywhere in our world. The dogs came out, barking the moment their heads were free and struggling as you've seen them do when they're getting through a narrow hole in a hedge. The stags were the strangest to watch. For, of course, the antlers came up a long time before the rest of them. So at first, Diggory thought they were trees. The frogs, who all came up to the river, went straight into it with a plop, plop and a loud croaking. The panthers, leopards and things of that sort sat down at once to wash the loose earth off their hindquarters and then stood up against the trees to sharpen their front claws. Showers of birds came out of the trees, butterflies fluttered, bees got to work on the flowers as if they hadn't a second to lose. But the greatest moment of all was when the biggest hump broke like a small earthquake, and out came the sloping back, the large, wise head, and the four baggy-trousered legs of an elephant. And now you could hardly hear the song of the lion. There was so much cawing, cooing, crowing, braying, neighing, baying, barking, lowing, bleating, and trumpeting. The cabbage horse Strawberry brushed past Diggory and joined the chorus. The cabbie stayed with Diggory, Polly and Uncle Andrew, watching the scene before them. Though they could no longer hear the lion, they could see it. It was so big and so bright that they could not take their eyes off it. The lion went silent and now went to and fro among the animals. Every now and then he would go up to two of them and touch their noses with his. He would touch two beavers among all the beavers, two leopards among all the leopards, one stag and one deer among all the deer, and leave the rest. Some sorts of animals he passed over altogether, but the pairs which he had touched instantly left their own kinds and followed him. At last he stood still, and all the creatures whom he had touched came and stood in a wide circle around him. The others whom he had not touched began to wander away. Finally, for the first time that day, there was complete silence. The lion, whose eyes never blinked, stared at the animals as hard as if he were going to burn them up with his mere stare. And gradually, a change came over them. The smaller animals grew larger, and the larger animals grew smaller. Many animals sat up on their hind legs. Most put their heads on one side as if they were trying very hard to understand. The lion opened his mouth, but no sound came from it. He was breathing out a long, warm breath. It seemed to sway all the beasts as the wind sways a line of trees. Far overhead, the stars seemed to sing again from beyond the veil of blue sky. Then came a swift flash like fire, and every drop of blood tingled in the children's bodies. And then the lion spoke.
Narnia. 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 trees. Be talking beasts. Be divine waters.
Out of the trees, wild people step forth, gods and goddesses of the wood. With them came fauns and satyrs and dwarfs. Out of the river rose the river god and his naiad daughters. And all these and all the beasts and birds in their different voices replied,
Hail Aslan! We hear and obey. We are awake. We love. We think. We speak.
But please, we don't know very much yet.
Good old Strawberry. I am glad he was one of the ones picked out to be a talking beast.
Well, strike me pink. I always did say as how that horse had a lot of sense, though.
Creatures, I give you yourselves. I give to you forever this land of Narnia. I give you the woods, the fruits, the rivers. I give you the stars. And I give you myself. The dumb beasts whom I have not chosen are yours also. Treat them gently and cherish them. But do not go back to their ways, lest you cease to be talking beasts. For out of them you were taken, and into them you can return. Do not so.
We won't.
No fear, Aslan.
Go on. Laugh and fear not, creatures. Now that you are no longer dumb and witless, you need not always be grave. For humor as well as justice come in with speech.
Aslan, have I made the first joke? Will everybody always be told how I made the first joke?
No, little friend. You have not made the first joke. You have only been the first joke. And now, Narnia is established. We must next take thought for keeping it safe. I will call some of you to my council. Come hither to me, you, the chief dwarf, and you, the river god, and you, Oak, and the he-owl, and both the ravens and the bull elephant. We must talk together. For though the world is not 5 hours old, an evil has already entered it.
Look here, Polly. I've got to go after him. Aslan, I mean the lion. I must speak to him.
Do you think we can?
I wouldn't dare.
I've got to.
It's about Mother. If anyone could give me something that would do her good, it would be him.
And I'll come along with you. I like the looks of him. And I want a word with old Strawberry.
What? Ha! Diggory, come back. Come back at once when you're told. I forbid you to go a step further. Well, what will I do if they eat you and the rings?